The Orphan of India by Sharon Maas. Read by Shaheen Khan for Saga Egmont. Prologue. A village in Maharashtra, India, 1977. Jyoti's slight form wavered a little as Ma placed the small bundle on her head. But she held her head up high and gripped it tightly with both hands, and soon found the point of perfect balance. It was bulky rather than heavy, and far easier to carry than water. A single full bucket dragged from the well was back-breaking, down-pulling, stop-and-start work for a girl of almost 5. But she could carry laundry with ease, using her arms as props, following Ma with swinging steps and a straight but pliant back, all the way up to the great house at the top of the hill. Ma carried a much larger bundle on her head without the help of hands, and she walked briskly, for they were late. Jyoti quickened her pace to keep up. Every now and then she stumbled on the hem of her too long skirt, stopped to push a fold of fabric into her sagging waistband, and hurried forward to catch up, for Ma would not wait. They reached the top of the hill, turned into the driveway, entered the front courtyard, and walked up the 3 stairs to the great wooden door at the top. Ma knocked twice with the brass elephant head knocker. The door swung open silently, and Devi Ma let them in, frowning slightly because the sun was already rising above the turrets to the east, and work was waiting. Jyoti followed Ma, who followed Devi Ma. Single file, they walked along the coloured tiles of a short passageway of fretwork walls into the inner court. Ma lifted the bundle of laundry from her own head and then Jyoti's bundle, and set both side by side on the marble floor of the inner court. Devi Ma squatted down beside Jyoti's Ma, and together the women began the sorting and the counting. Saris in one heap, dhotis in another, blouses and underwear in other, smaller heaps, counting and adding up the prices. Jyoti's Ma could not follow the counting and the calculations, but nodded at all of Devi Ma's sums, trusting her. Only occasionally they squabbled over the price of an item, like the big yellow woven bedspread, which Jyoti's Ma said was so heavy and hard to wash, her husband had needed her eldest son's help in wringing it out, and it was worth 15 rupees, whereas Devi Ma said it was only worth 12. But the squabbling was amiable and soon put to rest, and Jyoti's mother got 14 rupees for the bedspread. After the clean laundry was checked against Devi Ma's list and paid for, the pile of dirty laundry in the corner would have to be sorted, counted and listed. It was a good hour's work, interspersed with good-natured stories of village gossip volunteered by Jyoti's Ma in exchange for great house gossip. While they did their business, Jyoti sat at the edge of the pool in the middle of the courtyard and played with the water spitting fish. It was an oval pool of turquoise tiles and shallow water that caught the early morning sunlight and played with it in golden concentric circles rippling backwards from the fish. Jyoti wore a red ankle-length cotton skirt and a flowered blouse. Her hair was neatly plaited and hung down her back in a thick black rope. She swiveled her body around, lifted her skirt to her knees and put her feet in the pool. She leaned forward and lifted cups of water out of the pool and let the water fall back through her fingers into itself with a delicious splash. The gurgle of bubbling water was music. All of a sudden, she stopped playing and cocked her head. She had heard a sound, a sweet sound, sweeter even than the water's voice. Barely perceptible, yet strong, insistent, reminding her of something, but she knew not what, calling her somewhere, but she knew not where. If you could turn the glow and delight of the first glimpse of the sun rising over the trees at the edge of the village into sound, it would be this. If you could turn the perfume of a rose or the taste of a ripe mango into sound, or the feel of cool water running through your fingers.